Welcome to the Culture Coordinator Podcast, episode 001. I'm your host and founder of the Culture Coordinator, Kurt Earle. Today's episode is all about a word that has become all the buzz over the last couple years. We use it a lot, we talk about it a lot, but do we really know what it is? That word is culture. And today we're going to think more deeply about what culture really is. You're going to love it. In 2016, Tim Ferriss sent out a simple tweet that really got me thinking. It read, "As much as I dislike vague talk about quote-unquote company culture, I like this definition. What happens when people are left to their own devices?" A few weeks after Ferriss's tweet, I was named the new head football coach at Lincoln Christian School, where I had served the previous 10 years as an assistant, position assistant at first, and then as the offensive coordinator for another 8 years after that. The tweet rang loudly in my head as I began to take my own first steps as a head coach, as I began to think about what would the culture be when I took over as the head coach. I was taking over for a head coach that was still serving and still to this day serves as our principal and AD, and he had done a great job, and I had helped him a ton in that, and we had built a good culture together. But he and I would both agree it was time for a refresh. It was time to go back to basics and build upon the fundamentals. So after my first season as the head coach, I realized that as the head coach, I have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, a special teams coordinator, but that I, as the head coach, was the culture coordinator. And the other coaches on my staff are tasked with the offense and the defense, but my task was to coordinate the culture. But what is culture? You know, what defines culture? We use that word so much. And that was the topic of the first ever Culture Cord chat on Twitter, where a lot of you chimed in. And here's some of the things you had to say back when we did this last spring. Culture is the current state of your program. It could be good or bad. It's the state of things as they are. Here's another one. Culture can be changed. I think that's a good point. Shouldn't be forgotten. Many participants indicated that the best way to change culture was to reinforce desirable behaviors, thoughts, and beliefs. So your culture is what you reinforce was a big part of what was said in the Twitter chat. Culture was also perceived to be the sum of many actions that shape decision-making and the overall direction of an organization. Thought that was pretty technical, but really good. You know, the sum, that the all the parts added together and how they shape decision-making and the overall direction of the organization. Culture was also seen as building a positive, long-term, consistent culture was seen as something that you have to constantly maintain and something that you can have and have going well, but that it can slide and slip and take a step back and things can begin to quote-unquote slip through the cracks. And that's kind of the beginning thinking of culture as we went through the talk or the Twitter chat. And the thoughts from this first Culture Cord chat aligned with this article from Forbes magazine by William Craig that I had found. And according to Craig, there are four key areas that reveal your culture. Those four areas are clarity of purpose, employee engagement, so in our case, I would say coach and player and even parent or stakeholder engagement, an environment of trust, we all know you gotta trust one another to play good ball together, and continued learning, so clarity of purpose, employee engagement, an environment of trust, and continued learning. As I pondered Tim Ferriss's tweet, the feedback I received from Twitter, and read through Craig's article and others like it, my mind grew more and more confused about how to define culture. I mean, here I was really thinking about what is my job as the culture coordinator, and it seemed to just be getting more and more confusing. But then I came across Brian Kite, who, I have to be real, my mom recommended him years ago, learning about him from the business side of things, and I sort of sloughed her off and was like, oh, come on, mom. But turns out Brian Kite and Focus 3 really know what they're doing, and if you don't know about them yet, you ought to and you should, and you need to look them up. They're partnering with USA Football and many other schools and programs around the country. And so I had the privilege and opportunity of doing a three-hour workshop, first with coaches in our area, three-hour workshop with Kite, and then with my team, just my team and my coaches. And our time together was full of pearls of wisdom, but perhaps the biggest pearl was the clarity that he brought to the question, what is culture? He didn't answer or even attempt to answer that question specifically. He asked a better question. So instead of attempting to answer the question, what is culture, he asked a better question. And that better question is, what is the purpose of culture? And even as he was suggesting us for us to ponder that thought, my mind immediately began to track with him, and I understood exactly what he was saying. And I had realized that my perspective and my asking what is culture had been the wrong question, and so I wasn't finding the answers that satisfied me. In asking what is culture, I was asking the equivalent of what is football, and hoping for the answer to be West Coast offense or 4-2-5 defense. Like I was asking a very 10,000, maybe even 100,000 foot view question and wanting a ground level explanation. And that's just not the way questions and answers work. So what is the purpose of culture? According to Kite and the Focus 3 team, the purpose of culture is to drive behaviors that win. And one of the things I love about Kite and Focus 3 and his dad and all the work that they're doing is that they say things that are generic enough that you can adjust them and apply them to your situation, but specific enough that they're not so vague they aren't useful. So when he says, what is the purpose of culture, or when he asks that question and answers it with the purpose of culture is to drive behaviors that win, I immediately am thinking of the ways that we define winning at Lincoln Christian School, where I'm the head coach, and I begin to think of all the things it takes to really have a successful season, the way we would define success at our school, and start putting those things together and begin to start shaping, okay, this is what our culture is. This is what we do. These are the attitudes we have. These are the ways that we think and approach things. This is our perspective. This is our worldview. All of those things are a part of your culture. So this brought immediate clarity and excitement. It shifted my paradigm and focused my attention on what our program is trying to accomplish instead of having my attention focused on what I should be doing. So I was now realizing that a primary aspect of being a culture coordinator was thinking about where are we headed? Get us pointed in that direction. Let the other coordinators and the position coaches break down the more specifics of some of the things we need to do to get in that direction. But my job is to keep us focused and to keep what we're doing right now connected to where we want to be later. Kite went on to say, the purpose of culture is not to make people feel good or comfortable. The singular purpose of culture is to drive the behaviors called for by your strategy. And all of a sudden I realized that culture isn't about unity type events where we go out and have fun and do things that unify us. That is certainly an important aspect of culture. But just doing those things isn't going to build a culture that has any sort of specific purpose and strategy. And it's not going to build anything that drives the behaviors needed and necessary for that purpose and strategy. You have to define those things, and then you have to figure out how to get people excited about doing the things it takes to execute your strategy. Sometimes that might mean going out and bowling or something like that and having a great time away from the game in a unity event, though that has its place. I'm not dogging those things, but I am saying you're not building culture just because you do those. It's more intentional. It's more strategic than that. And so suddenly the most obvious question in this process for me was, how do I define winning and what are my strategies for creating wins? Notice the progress here of my train of thought. I went from what is culture to what is winning and how do we make winning happen? From the abstract, the 10,000 foot view, to the concrete, the ground level fundamentals of culture. So what is winning? Well, I think that that's something that you need to figure out and that you need to dig into for your specific place and your specific culture and your specific coaching situation. Winning at Alabama is different than winning at a school that hasn't won in a year. I'll try not to name anyone specific. I don't want to insult anyone. But, you know, obviously a successful season is measured differently at Alabama than it would be at a place that's maybe just starting their program or just jumping up to Division I football. And it's not just the scoreboard that's the difference. It's the many other things that a good, healthy program builds. You know, Dabo Swinney, I think, is someone that we all admire as someone who is building a program that cares a lot for people. I'm not saying Alabama doesn't. I'm just saying Dabo seems to be sort of leading in that area, caring for his players, developing players. He's a thought leader in that way, the way he conducts things. And so for him, you know, next season is a success based on what they've done in the past and where they want to head in the future. And that's different and unique at every different place. And so I think that's very important. So what does all this thinking about how to define winning and success have to do with culture? Well, it means that your team is filled with players who are defining success differently. Some of them don't care if you win or lose on the scoreboard as long as they get their stats. Others define success as being a starter or at their favorite position or whatever it might be. They can't imagine playing a different position, and they are not really yet able to step back and define success the same way the team does and to step back for the sake of the team goals. So here's my point, guys. If you're going to create a culture that drives behaviors that win, you first have to define winning and sell your players on that definition. If you can't get everyone on board and make everyone believe that your definition of winning, the one that you are putting forth as the culture coordinator, is worth buying into and worth getting on board with, then you're never going to get anywhere in terms of actually driving behaviors that carry out your strategy and your definition of success. As you wrestle with defining success, it's important to remember that you are free to define it however you want. Winning might include beating the other team on the scoreboard, but your definition of success is probably a lot bigger than that. The key here, regardless of how you define success, is that it's well articulated to your players and the rest of your stakeholders, and that you sell your definition to everyone. Everyone in the program, from your student manager to your quarterback to your parents and alums, have to believe your definition and make it their own. You need to do everything you can to get everybody on the same page, believing in what you are selling as the definition of success, so that they'll buy into the strategy, so that they'll live out the behaviors called for your by strategy, so that you can have a culture that is driving success. At Lincoln Christian, because we're a Christian school, we define success as being able to look back on the season at the end of your banquet and say, we pursued our God-given potential and became more like Christ in the process. And obviously, that's a little bit unique to our school because not every school is a Christian school. Not all of you listening are Christians, and that's okay. No problem with that. But I do think all of us would agree that success is two-sided, that it's like it's a coin, so to speak. On one side of the coin, it's winning on the scoreboard. On the other side, it's building young men, young people that are involved with the program, and helping them become better young people, and helping them become people who are going to be greater contributors to their community when they're adults. And if you don't have both sides of that coin, the striving to be the best you can be and winning on the scoreboard, and the building young men and women so that they can grow and be great members of their communities as adults, if you don't have both of those, you've got half a coin. You've got a worthless coin. It's not worth anything. It's only worthwhile when you're doing both of those things. So whatever your ultimate definition of success is, and however you choose to articulate, and whatever you're trying to get people to buy into so you can execute your strategies for success and have a culture that really drives those attitudes for success, I beg you, I implore you, I encourage you, make it about more than winning, make it about building people as much as it is winning, and do both of those things simultaneously. Remember, this article began by asking the question, what is culture? What we have discovered is that it's far better to ask, what does culture do? And recognize that culture ought to, by definition, drive behaviors that win. You can define winning or success however you want to, but ultimately a great culture is a culture that is driving the behaviors that lead to your definition of success. And if you've got a healthy, well-rounded definition of success, you're going to be building a great program that is making a great difference in your community and doing wonderful things for all the people that are on the team, in the school, stakeholders, in your surrounding city, community, whatever that looks like for you. You're going to be doing great things if all those things are lined up properly. Ultimately, the process of building a great culture begins with this definition of success or this definition of winning. You have to know where you're trying to go, guys, and you have to identify those desired outcomes, both on the scoreboard and in the life of your athletes and coaches. And then you've got to sell that and build a process for making that happen as frequently as possible, to the greatest depth of possible, in as many players as possible, and in the assistant coaches and in your own life as well. So you've got to reverse engineer the whole thing. And this process of reverse engineering the journey towards your desired outcome will reveal the core values of your culture, and it will help you drive the behaviors called for by your strategy, which is, according to Brian Kite, the purpose of culture. So that's my two cents on what culture is, guys. The key is to stop asking what it is at the 10,000 foot level and expect to get ground level answers. You're far better off asking yourself, what does culture do? And culture, a healthy one, ultimately drives the behaviors that lead to your definition of success. And a healthy definition of success is about the scoreboard, but it's also equally about developing people, making sure that your program is making a positive contribution to your community in everything that it does. Thank you.